Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we have been listening to a study which was taught live at Calvary Chapel Amerada as part of a verse-by-verse study through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. The study today will focus on our need to mourn over the spiritual condition of the church and for those who have rejected God's plan of salvation. We'll be starting in Romans chapter 9, where Paul expresses his grief over the fact the Jews had rejected the message of the gospel. I hope that you have been learning from these studies this week that we truly need to mourn over the spiritual condition of others to the point it causes sorrow in our hearts. When this happens, we are promised that God will be the one to comfort our hearts. Let's now go to Romans chapter 9, where Paul expresses the grief and sorrow he carries in his own heart.
One other place of mourning that I believe we should all be touched with, look over at Paul again in Romans chapter 9. He says, I tell the truth in Christ, verse 1, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. So here's a man that has great sorrow and constant grief. He just carries that around with him. See, it's not just he saw a picture of starving babies and had compassion for a time, but he carries this around in his heart. And what was that? Verse 3, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh. He's talking about the Jews. The Jews rejected the message of the gospel and were trying to be righteous in their own eyes. And so here he says, I carry this about constantly, this constant sorrow and grief in my heart because they're not saved, because they're trying to establish their own rights. He says, I'd even place myself being accursed if I could for them. See, that's walking after the manner of Jesus Christ. See, if you could walk through life and not be touched with the difficulties inside the church and outside the church, then you really haven't been touched by God's hearts. You're not really reflecting His character and His nature. And you're living a self-centered life, that you're just grieving over the things you're not able to accomplish and receive. And that's not the life that Christ modeled for us. So if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a lot of things to be grieved over. We're not going to turn there, but in Mark chapter 9, a father brought his son that was demon-possessed. And with tears, he cried out to Jesus for help. And I definitely see the work of Satan ripping people's lives off and destroying it. Don't you get tired of seeing violence on TV and the drug problem? I mean, this thing that happened down in Mexico there, you know, just these lives are snuffed out. I see that as demonic. That's just not human. That's demonic. And all the stuff we have in our own society. And then what really grieves me is how the devil is so destroying the family unit today. And that just bears consequences into the next generation. He wants to divide and rip apart. And it just brings a grief to my heart to see that. You know, lives being hurt. Jesus said the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you sit down, you watch the news, and you could probably label most of the stuff, other than the sports or the last little thing that they have, as stealing, killing, and destroying. They don't often report good news. Excuse me, this massive destruction happened over here, and this death over here, and this murder, you know. It's the devil's handwork being evidenced, snuffing people's lives out, and then coming in and thrashing the family. So in our walks with the Lord, there is cause for great mourning. And we can't escape that. And I think Jesus here is getting at the heart of it, that's part of being a follower in His kingdom. Because if you could walk in life and not be touched or care about anything else, all these things that are happening, then you're really not walking as a kingdom child. Let's go back to Matthew 5. And I believe that Jesus is not only speaking about mourning for things outside of us. I think to get to the heart of the matter in this third aspect, I think He's talking about our own sin. We need to mourn over our own spiritual condition. And that's why He started in verse 3 where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. We looked at last week that word poor means abject poverty, someone that's reduced to begging. They can't even work for a living, can't even work to provide for themselves. And so there they are over in the corner with their head bowed and their hand raised up, looking down and asking for alms, begging for alms. And that's the picture Jesus uses of the person that wants to receive the kingdom of heaven.
It's interesting that this word poor here is the term that's used to apply to Lazarus. Remember that story? Jesus said there was a rich man and Lazarus, and says this, he just wanted the crumbs that fell from his table, and the dogs would come and lick his sore. He called him the beggar Lazarus. This is the same term. And that's how you enter the kingdom of heaven, poor in spirit. You don't come and say, God, well, you know, I've been pretty good in my life. Here's my good works. Here's my church attendance. Here's my baptism. And okay, I'll take your grace in addition to that, and I'll enter. You come humbled. You come in crawling on your knees with nothing to offer God, just reaching up and say, God, I need from you. And when you come in that way, God says, I'll give you the kingdom of heaven. I'll give you everything. The gift of eternal life, forgiveness right now, and eternity in God's presence. That's the intellectual aspect. That's the mental part. I realize I'm poor in spirit. I have nothing to offer God. But then also Christianity also affects our emotions. It's not just an emotional religion or relationship with God. It's that. It's intellectual as well as touching our emotions. And when we come to the point where we realize I am spiritually bankrupt, I'm like that beggar over in the corner that has nothing to offer God, the next phase that should happen is that we should have a sense of mourning over our own weakness. And it's not just a one-time thing when we get saved, but I believe it should be a constant attitude that we carry about in our heart because we're continually weak. So he said, blessed are those who mourn. And the word mourn here is the word that is reserved for the most intense type of grief. That's when you lose somebody and you mourn over that individual. The Old Testament was once translated into Greek called the Septuagint. And in Genesis chapter 37, when Jacob heard that his son Joseph was killed, remember they showed him the coat and it was ripped apart and there's blood on it. It says he mourned, and that's the term that's used. So it's over a great sense of loss, a depth of grief that's internal. That's what Jesus is asking or describing. Those are his true followers. Those that mourn like they've lost a person that they love and care for over their own spiritual condition, over their own evil and wicked, sinful hearts.
This concludes the broadcast today, and I hope that you have been encouraged today to see that God desires us to be touched with the infirmities and grief of others. As we allow this to happen, we'll be concerned about the things God is concerned about, and we'll truly be vessels through which the love of Jesus Christ can flow through. At this point, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer for the salvation of those whom we love. Father, we do ask that you would raise us up as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that you'd give us boldness to preach the gospel for those who have missed your plan. Maybe there's relatives that we have in our households that have been raised in the church and they've forsaken you and have went astray. We pray that you'd give us hearts that would mourn over that situation. Father, I pray you'd give us hearts that would mourn over the spiritual condition of coworkers and neighbors that are around us, and that you'd truly send us into the harvest field. Lord, we do pray that you would raise up workers, as you've asked us in Matthew chapter 9, to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into the field. So, Lord, we pray for those that we love that maybe we have not been able to reach, that you would send other laborers into the field there to touch their life, to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Father, we also pray that you'd raise us up as your workers to touch lives with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Use us for your purposes and for your plan. I ask that you'd put a grief within our heart over those who do not know you, Lord, that you would burden us to the point that we would intercede and pray as well as reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.